Blog Talk Radio.
Talk, the segment Bringing Sexy Back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. I have my guest co-host along with me, Jade Bryan. She's from over there at Erotic Talk Radio, a show I co-host with her on Thursdays. And I just want to say I hope everybody's having a beautiful evening. The chat room is open. I'm sorry I got open a little late, but if you want to log into the chat room, feel free to do that. And the call-in number is 646-652-2877. We have a very special guest this evening, Angel from Angel. Anyway, she's an expert in fellatio, so if you never did it or thinking about doing it, after tonight you're going to learn quite a bit because she is an expert. She has videos out. She also has a book out that will assist you in things that you never knew that you didn't know. But after tonight you're going to know. So with that being said, I'm going to bring in my co-host, and then we'll bring in our special guest. Good evening, Jade. How are you, darling?
Hi, Miss Delicious. How are you doing this evening?
I am just fantastic, all geared up and ready to go.
I am excited. I'm so excited about it. You know we're going to have fun with this one.
Oh, no doubt. You know, and the thing about Angel, she's so worldwide known, you know, until, you know, people who, you know, listen once, I'm quite sure they'll listen again and again and again because every show is different, and I'm sure that she brings something different every time she does, you know, be on a show. She was on Howard Stern, World Star Hip Hop, countless blog talk radio shows, and, you know, she's moving and grooving. So without further ado, we're going to bring in our guest.
All right.
Good evening, Angel. How are you, darling?
I am doing fantastic. Good evening, ladies.
Hey, how are you, Angel?
I'm freakily fantastic.
That's right. And she is truly
well,
an angel.
Nothing is wrong with that. Nothing in the world is wrong with that. I'm going to open my other girl's mic here because my co-host, I don't know where he is at this particular time, but I have Terry standing by for me as well. So good evening, Terry. How are you, darling?
Me?
Yes, ma'am, Terry.
Yes, lovely.
You
I
said
had a
me?
Little brain fart.
Well, are you
there? Hi, Angel. How you doing, darling? It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dolly. Thank you. No, I'm great. I'm doing fantastic. I really am.
And I want everybody that's listening and to know I got Angel's DVDs and her book. I will be remiss if I don't tell y'all. Y'all need to get your copy for y'all stuff because y'all not borrowing mine. And I'm going to be the
right
piece in Alabama.
I know that's right. No one is supposed to borrow yours. They are supposed to support Angel and get their own, you know, because it's always good to have your own anyway, you know, instead of borrowing. Can I use that? No. Get your own.
Mm-hmm.
You
get
know.
Your own, that's right.
Right. So, Angel, let me ask you this. How did you come to be an expert in fellatio and, you know, what made you get involved in that?
Well, it's been, oh, goodness, I can't even think about how many years. It hasn't been that many years, but, you know, over 15 years. And I was dating this guy, and long story short, I never did it before. I just, you know, no one ever asked me. Sex was always good enough. So with this particular guy, he asked, and I was looking at him like, you want me to do what? I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I've never done it. So because I really liked him and I wanted to be with him, I put in the time and effort to try and learn. But the thing about that is, you know, you can do all the research you want. At the end of the day, if they're not communicating back to you what it is they like, it's really kind of like a waste of time to a certain degree. Because what's good for Henry is not good for Bob. So I performed on him. I got no response. I was, you know, of course, women, we think so much, and, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, I'm not knowing what I'm doing. Does he like it? It doesn't. What do I need to do? So then the next time I did it, he did make a response, and now I'm trying to figure out what did I actually do so I can keep doing it. And I realized how just men are not the best communicators. They don't articulate what they want. So one time, the next time I actually started doing it, he made all these noises, and he was all into it, and I stopped. And he was like, why did you stop? And I was like, because I'm going to write this stuff down. So I started writing down what I was doing. He was really impressed. He started communicating with me then because I guess he was like, she really into this. She really want to please me. He started telling me what it is he wanted. And I just realized that I wasn't the only person going through this. So I started telling my friends, and I told them to take a class, and they told their friends, and they told their friends. And 9 years later, I'm here.
Wow. So what was it exactly you were doing that had turned him on that you had to write this down?
Well, you know what? It was basically a little bit of everything. It was the sound effects were number one. I wanted to do something that the next chick would never do. My sound effects have probably separated me from any other fellatio lady in the world because they're so out of the norm. And I love it because a lot of people are like, oh, that's crazy. That just sounds like too much. But you're never going to forgive me. You would never, ever forget me. And any woman that does it, her man will never forget her as well. Now, he may not like it, and you could change it up because it's never a right or a wrong. But start at 10. Don't start at 1 and figure it out. Start at 10. Give him everything you got. And then break it down from there. And that's kind of like how I look at fellatio. It's not a progression. It's just a 100% commitment at the beginning. And then you kind of work it out. So that the sound effects were number one. And then I make an excessive amount of saliva, more than the average bear. So he was extremely engaging with that. And I realized that I knew a way to make every lady, you know, make a lot of saliva. A lot of people probably not as much as me, but they are 80% right there with me, and I can get you there. So just those two alone, basically just changing up whatever you do, turned out to be phenomenal.
Well, can I ask you a question? Angel, when you stopped to write down what was going on, did that break the mood? Because sometimes when I have had intercourse with a guy and I'm into it, and then he want to switch up and go to a different location or ask me some stupid question, how am I doing? It breaks my mood, and I'm like, done. So when you stop to write that down, was he still feeling hot and ready, waiting for you to come back, lick some more, and then write some more stuff down? I mean,
now you got to think about, okay, what's good for Henry is not going to be good for Sally. Meaning men and women have a totally different makeup when it comes to sex. Women, we are thinkers. So when a man breaks our stride, our brain is not connected to our vagina no more because now you irritated me. So that's our biggest sex organ. Men don't think when they have sex. They just have sex. So, no, he was not deterred. It threw him off because it had never happened before. But this is not something I do all the time. This was just like at my initial when I was learning. And it actually built our conversation of what it is that he liked. Because I realized that, you know, what I thought he would like, he didn't like. And what I thought he didn't like, he did. So that was just the beginning. But, I mean, now I got it down pat. That, I mean, I don't stop, you know. I'm trying to kill you.
This is my last question. And when you said that you have a lot of saliva, is that equated with as well, because you got a lot of mouth saliva, that you also naturally get wet in your vagina area? Because some people think that if they had hysterectomies or whatever, they are told that they get dry and everything if they don't take hormones, which is a lie. It's all a mental thing where you at and whether you're in tune to who you are. But is that a correlation if you got good saliva or you're wet down there, then you'll be a good candidate because your mouth will be juicy too?
You know what? It sounds like it could be because I'm both, but not necessarily. Now, just because of our anatomy and the way our bodies, we do run off of hormones. And women, of course, estrogen. As we get older, the estrogen levels, you know, lower. So women do need to get a replacement for it. So I don't think if your mouth gets really, really wet or is dry, that it really has anything to do with your vagina, because there's two totally different. That, you know, your mouth is not really a sex organ. You know what I'm saying? So it has a totally different makeup. But when it comes to women who've had a hysterectomy, it depends on what they lost. If it was just their uterus, or was it their fallopian tubes, or was it their, you know, their eggs, or their, you know. So it just depends, and that has a lot to do with if they're wet or not. As long as they still have their ovaries, usually they're pretty okay. So you got to also figure out what the women lost in the process. But that's why lubricant is a wonderful thing. You know, number one, anyone that uses condoms should always use a lubricant. I don't care how wet you are.
Right.
A condom will eventually start to dry out the walls of your vagina. You don't want that because you need that, but you only get one vagina.
That's right.
True.
And then also some people will get dry after a long, depending on your partner, you know. So I love saliva as a lubricant, but I would not recommend it for everyone because, you know, some people feel like they might get more agitated because, you know, as long as he brushes teeth, you know, it's a endless supply. You know, the economy is bad. You never run out of saliva. Hey, but I believe that you most definitely should always use some type of lubricant if you know for sure you're not.
You're right about that thing about saliva. People might get turned off because I know I've been turned off before when the guy he couldn't get it right. He wanted to spit on his hand and put on his dick. Hell no.
Yeah, and some people they're like, "What are you doing?"
I don't like that neither.
Oh, I like me,
I'm very nasty. Like I want the nastiest stuff. I want you to like hit it from the back and spit on my back. Like I just want to feel a hot.
Hell no.
Yeah.
I know that's my listen.
Yeah, I like to take it. You know, good girls always go bad. So that's all that is.
I'll be bad. So my props to you, but I ain't doing that. Don't spit the hell on me. I might smack you.
A hell of a smack. I might punch you in the face.
Okay.
You know, it's just like if he was going down on you. So I mean, you know, it's still saliva. You know, and so you know, it's really the same. It's just kind of how it comes out of his mouth. One is kind of just oozes out.
Well, let me shut up.
Right,
but thank you for answering that question.
Right. Now, I'm not into the saliva and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and the guys that I've had oral with, they've never complained about me not being, you know, having that saliva and stuff. Because I just don't like the saliva. Not to say that one day I may do it or whatever, but it's just something about it. And so,
it's also about the semen too. Maybe she can give some insight.
I don't like semen on me, on my body. And if it gets on my body, I don't want to see it. So
oh my goodness, what are y'all women doing?
I could probably deal with the spit more than I can deal with the semen, because the semen seems like some messed up sputum. It just seems like it's hawk spit or something. You know, that's why I can't deal with that semen. Now, the spit, I may can deal with that better, but the semen, no.
I'm with you, Gail.
But you're not going to swallow either then, huh?
Oh, no. Not to say that one day I might with my husband. But no,
what's good for her to say that? What's good for her to bring that to your attention, to say that to you, is that there's got to be a lot of women that also feel that same way.
It's a lot.
What would your input to them be? What would your suggestion be to those ladies that's like, I want to give good head. I want to be able to do this, but that kind of stuff really bothers me and kind of makes my skin crawl.
There's a technique that I teach in all my classes that's not on my DVD, which eventually I will do probably a DVD on tricks, you know, just things you could do to kind of get over. But it's so say, for instance, for all those ladies that's listening, I want you to picture you giving your man head and your hand is stroking his penis, up and down, twisting, whatever it is you normally do. You're sucking and you're twisting. Well, right at that moment when you feel like he's about to climax, even if you're not sure, very simple because we're grown, say, baby, let me know when you're about to climax. He's going to be like, okay. So now you feel like he's about to, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, baby, I'm coming. As that moment happens, keep sucking. But that hand that is stroking up and down, take it to the base of his penis. I want everyone to kind of visualize that. Take your hand to the base of his penis as you were stroking. If you're right-handed, you're going to take your thumb and pinch. You're going to keep sucking, but your hand doesn't move. You're just pinching. If you're left-handed, you're just going to use the inside of where your pointer finger is and your thumb and pinch. So what you're doing now is as he ejaculated, you actually block the semen from coming out because you pinch off the urethra. So he still feels the feeling of an orgasm because he's still orgasm. It still went through the testicles. It still went through the prostate, but you blocked it. So now you're sucking, and he thinks that he would have the illusion that you actually are swallowing. So you're sucking, your hand is not moving. And once you get tired and you ready to get over the whole, you know, situation, you take his penis out of your mouth, you move it to the side, and you release your grip. When you do that, the semen will shoot out, and he will feel as if he had a second orgasm. That way there's no semen in your mouth, there's no semen on you, and he feel like he had a multi-orgasm. Everybody wins.
Okay, so what you're saying is you just squeeze the base, or is there something down there that you're squeezing on?
No,
the base?
No, you're just squeezing the base,
just the base,
right above his testicles. All you want to do is pinch off the urethra. So when you grab it and pinch a little, your thumb kind of goes to the, you know, just pinches there. All and not pinch like hurt. You're just kind of like grabbing it and just pinching off the
squeezing
urethra,
it, so to speak.
Yeah, so it's almost like you're giving it not a tourniquet, but, you know, kind of like if you put a cock ring on something that you're just blocking it. And then you're still sucking, though, but your hand is not moving. Basically, all you're doing is shutting off the urethra so no semen can come out.
Oh, does that work with a cock ring?
Yeah, but you don't want to have the cock ring on because then right, it's not going to come out. A cock ring blocks everything so he can stay erect. This is when you want him to come, and you just want him to think you swallow, but you don't want
to
swallow.
I'm just trying to go to the side because in case that don't work.
No, it's going to work. And the thing is, if you feel like you could taste it, you just need to pinch a little harder. That's all. Mm-hmm. So your mouth is still going up and down. Your hand is actually doing the work of blocking. Now, if he say, ouch, that means you just grabbed him too hard. You're too nervous, and you're about to kill him. So, you know, he say, ouch, your face lit up a little bit. And you know, impression makes perfect. You know, you might not get it the first time. It might be a miss and go, but it does work. The best part about it is that when you pinch it off, the semen is building up because there's nowhere to go. So once you release it, the force shoots through his urethra so fast, that's what gives him the multi-orgasmic feeling. And he's trying to figure out what the heck did you just do. So, you know, he is just like more in love. He, like, she swallowed and she made me bust again. Oh, my God. I love you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, what about the visual? You know, because I know at one point I didn't like a guy watching me, you know, doing that to him. But now it's sort of like a turn on. So what do you have for women who don't want men to watch them? How can you get them to, you know, let their man watch?
I tell women all the time, men are visual, the majority of them are, and it's nothing like to be able to see your facial expression, see the saliva, see his penis entering in and out of your mouth, seeing your reactions. Just is a beautiful visual for men, and they don't want to close their eyes and picture it. They want to see you. If you are bashful, one, nothing's going to really get you over that. You have to get yourself confidence, number one. Number two, if for some reason you just can't do it, I would never tell people to smoke or drink or anything like that. What I need you to do is you need to channel into your alter ego. A lot of women have one, but they're scared to release it because they don't know what might happen. Some may have to take a little drink to ease the tension. But come and get your alter ego. Give her a name. You can go even freakier. You know, you can put on a mask, you know, like the little something around your eyes. I mean, if you want to just take it to a whole nother level. But for most women, I tell them, I'm an alter ego. Give it to her. That way you can blame all that nasty little freaky stuff you do on her. Now, that doesn't just go for anyone. Like I'm not going to do no alter ego. I just don't want to do it. Compromise. You can turn the lights off, but put some candles on. So at least he can still see the silhouette of you. And that could be sexier, you know, and all those things. So sometimes, you know, and I don't recommend you, like, taking a light and putting a sheet over because I don't want anybody to get burnt or set their house on fire. But there's so many different ways you can alter light so that everyone, he still gets to see, you know, even if it's a television light. You know, and you can just turn the sound down. So, you know, you can do all those different things. You don't have a candle.
Oh, okay. Now, let's talk about, you had mentioned the sounds. And what about a man who doesn't like those sounds, but you want to make those sounds? How can you make him like them or just don't make them?
No, it's all about him. And that's the thing. We don't want the ego trip of us. We're empowered by oral because we're controlling it, but it's all about his pleasure. And that's what makes it enjoyable. That's just like him going down on us, and he wants to do all what he wants to do, and we're not getting nothing out of it because he's got this ego. That's not what sex is all about. It's about communication and giving each other what they want. So if you made those sound effects and he didn't like them, just change it up and maybe do something else quirkier or change. You never know what it is you're going to like or not like until you try it. And if he just wants you to hum and make sexy sounds, come and make sexy sounds. I mean, you know, you want to turn him on. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about props? Because I understand that, excuse me, some women use pop rocks. Is that a good thing or no?
You know, I never really use additives and special effects because the head game is so awesome that I really don't need to add a whole lot of stuff. But I would never say no. The thing about stuff like that is if you're really into it, I have the fear of, you know, that stuff getting caught in your throat, you coughing. You know, you don't want to die for the dick. It's just not that serious.
Right.
But, you know, some women have done it and they like it because, you know, the feeling of the pop, the rocks popping on his penis. So, I mean, if you want to try it and do it, you can. You know, some people do the mint, the Altoids, and they chew them up so they can have that minty, you know, fresh, which is cool. Your breath is nice and fresh as well. So, I mean, mm-hmm. you can add all kind of stuff, you know, chocolate, vanilla, ice, whatever you want. Just be safe. That's my whole thing. You know, I'm more of a cautious safety buff and when I'm given, you know, sexual pleasure than anything. I kind of overthink things, too, but I'm still a woman.
Right.
You know, I can't help it.
Well, I've done the ice thing, and that was pretty good for him. He really enjoyed that. So, you know, I said, this thing is felt like a popsicle.
mm-hmm.
Frozen.
Exactly.
But he enjoyed it, you know. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with our special guest this evening, Angel. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to call in. This call-in number is 646-652-2877, and we'll be back in a flash.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my client while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/APPS/WEBSTORE/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
Yeah.
That's Brendan, the Tabulations, the touch of you, and we're talking about touching and licking and sucking and all that good stuff. And we have our special guest here, Angel, Talk Midnight. I got it right that time. Okay. And like I said, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The number is 646-652-2877. Get your pad and pen and take notes. And if you feel like it, call in because we will be answering. No, she will be answering all your questions. And I also would like to bring in my co-host, Rhea. Good evening, darling. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, we have Angel on the line along with Jade as a guest co-host, and Terry is also on the line.
Hi, Angel, Jade, and Terry.
Hey, hello, Rhea. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. So, do any of you ladies have any questions you'd like to ask Angel, or we just need to get right back into what's going on before we went to the break?
Let's go with what we were talking about first, and then...
We were talking about the sounds of, you know, the sounds. I think we were talking about the sounds. And then we went on, we were talking about the aids to, you know, like pop rocks and different things like that. But, you know, the conversation is so intriguing and chock full of knowledge until we could just ask any question when it comes down to, you know, pleasing our man if we, you know, if that's really what we want to do. But, you know, some people have limitations as myself. And I know that one day I'm going to have to get over them, but, you know, it's going to be the time is going to be right, that's for sure, because it's not like I'm trying to rush into, you know, satisfying a man just to be satisfying. You got to be the right man, the right time. And, you know, that's just how it has to be, you know, because I'm not, you know, I'm just not one to go down on every man, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. It has to be somebody that I'm interested in and, you know, someone who, you know, someone who I'm interested in, someone I don't mind, you know, giving that satisfaction to. So, you know, we need to talk about women who, what about women who say that they're afraid because they don't want their significant other to think anything ill of them? Because you have women that actually will not have oral sex with their boyfriends, but they'll have it with somebody else because they don't want their boyfriend to think that, oh, you nasty and all this whole kind of stuff. So what do you say to women like that? And vice versa with men, because some men won't, you know, even let their wife or their girlfriend go down on them. They let another, because they just feel that, you know, it's nasty, and I don't see, you know, it. I don't look at it as being nasty. So what do you say to people that have that type of attitude?
A lot of that has to do with how you've been raised, your environment and your culture and your morals and beliefs. And a lot of times we don't realize that when you meet a person, the conversation of background is very, very important, because it's a lot of people who are heavily, you know, was into church and their parents constantly told them X, Y, and Z, and it actually instilled in them, they look at certain things as a dirty act because they try to bag it up biblically, and people want to get to heaven. So they get scared of, you know, just enjoying life and enjoying their sexuality. Then you have people who may have had some type of sexual traumatic thing that happened to them. They could have been raped, molested, walked in on their parents doing something. Anything like that is traumatic. It sticks into your psyche. So when you are, you know, sexually engaging with someone, you need to have this conversation prior to sex, prior to even getting physical, because now you set yourself up to fall in love with a person who's not going to satisfy you sexually. And now everybody's frustrated. And now everybody want to cheat because you just didn't take the time to know this person prior to. So if you have a person like that, 9 times out of 10, there's not too much you can do. Because when you're grown and your mind is made up, the only thing that's going to change it is you. You can beg, please, do all those different things. It's not going to happen. You just adding more stress to your relationship. So conversation is number one. Now, for women who feel like it's a dirty thing, it's because of how society also has set women up. You know, you see the video of Vixens, and you see all these, you know, the pole dance and all that. And nobody wants to be perceived as a whore or a hoe. And those are whorish things, you know, so association. And women don't understand that that does not necessarily mean that you are a whore. What it means is that you just are comfortable in your skin and enough that you want to, you know, please it, please him and yourself. Me, I said big for me.
I know that's right.
For him. he's just basically blessed because it's something that I have to do. I love it for myself because it actually turns me on where I have an orgasm giving it to him because tearing him up. So for me, it's different. I can't even imagine not doing it where somebody else is like, it will be probably the biggest turn off for them. Now for men, it's the same exact thing. You know, they probably look at, oh my goodness, you know, we have children, especially a lot of men, some married men, especially old school. Oh, you know, we have kids together, and, you know, I don't want her to kiss my kids with that mouth, and she just gave me head. Like, their whole mindset is just all messed up. And then they'll go do it to a whore down the street because they think that that's a harsh thing to do. So I'm saying all that to say you have to have a conversation first to find out what someone's headset is, and then, you know, you can walk away. See, that's the whole power of dating. You date someone to get to see if this is somebody you want to start to have sex with or family with or the rest of your life with. People start to jump into the bed at the beginning, and then they try to get to know each other. By then, you already got a soul tie. And now y'all mad at each other because everybody's not lining up what they want. So, you know. So that would be my, you know.
Wow.
That's good advice.
Huh?
That's good advice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of times we really don't think of the bigger picture of sex. You know, it's just such a physical act, but it's so mental. You know, for women, especially when it comes to giving our bodies, you know, because we're givers. We're receivers. So because we take you in our bodies, you know, we get a deeper soul tie than men. They can dissociate themselves from sex. Because sex to men, a lot of men, is not love. Women, we go into it saying, oh, no, I'm not going to get attached. I'm not going to love you. But once you enter my vagina and my mouth, we go together. You my man. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so hard because men be like, dang, you know, baby, this supposed to just been casual. And we might have intent on that at the beginning. But that's not our makeup because we're receiving you. You know, you take a plug and you put it in the socket, you got power.
Yeah.
You disconnect. You know what? Even though it's not a power there, we still got that source, that inner thing, that source there. So it's kind of like, don't put it in. If you ain't staying, you know what I'm saying, don't do it. And, you know, so, yeah. You know, I look at sex so deep. I'm sorry, y'all. I ain't trying to take y'all there, but, you know, I just have to kind of break it on down.
No, appreciate that.
Because you do have a lot of times where people just, they have this custom-made vision based off of how they've been raised or whatever, and things that has happened to them in their life that causes them to feel like, oh, that's dirty. I just can't do that.
Exactly.
You know? And then you turn around and you try to figure out, why the hell is he stepped out on me? Why did he cheat? What did I do? I try to be a good woman. And with some things that we won't extend ourselves to or open ourselves up to because we feel like it's dirty.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you had also mentioned when someone is traumatized, you know, it takes away. So how would, let's just do a little scenario here. Say it was me, and I was so traumatized, and I told you, well, Angel, it was just so horrible how he beat me up and did this and did that. I don't think I could ever put a penis in my mouth. You know, what would you say? How would you convince me if I really, and I really wanted to do this, but I was afraid? How would you convince me to give someone oral?
I would do a couple of things. Number one, I would tell you to seek help. A lot of people are so scared to go get some professional help. They're like, oh, if I go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I'm crazy. We all crazy in some way. But you need to be able to figure out why. That's number one. And then number two, I tell people, you know, get a journal, write down things, your daily things that go on, and try to remember even some of the bad things. And you probably can realize that something that happened or something that happened at that moment that was like, it wasn't the act, but it could have been a smell, or it could have been the what, it could have been any crazy thing that once you associate with it, it's like that's not something that you want to do. And it's crazy as that may seem, sometimes it's just those little bitty things that can alter our sexuality. I have a friend of mine that I know that when he was younger, his aunt would make him go down on them. He was very young. But now he loves oral sex. Love it. Like, mm-hmm. he can't get enough of it. So, you know, and a lot of people will be like, well, you know, what the hell? You would think that would be something that you would never want to do. He took it, embraced it. That was something that they did to him, and he can't change it. But at the end of the day, it's not like I love it because what they did. I love it because I love. He had to learn within himself to be who he is, not to let somebody else change you, because that's what happens in a lot of sexual trauma. For instance, I was raped twice. And in my mm-hmm. book, I talk about it, about the rapes, and a lot of people were like, well, maybe that's why you're so sexual. A lot of girls become very promiscuous mm-hmm. because it's an empowerment. You can't take this from me. I'm giving it to you because I want to. And then you get that power trip. And I was there. But I love sex because it's just a pleasurable act. It has nothing to do with me being raped, nothing that I want to be raped. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I would tell that person, that's why you need to go to psychiatrist, because you need to figure out who you are first. And then you can separate that from the trauma that you had and actually enjoy the sex. Take the trauma out of it. And that's what I had to do. I don't have flashbacks of my rape when I'm making love. You know, mm-hmm. I can't. Because I couldn't control that. But in this bed right here, I'm going to control all of this. And that's because I'm a woman now. And I've been able to, you know, control what it is that happened to me.
Right.
At least when I'm with my mate, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, number one, go seek help. That's number one for anybody. Go get some help.
Right, because like you had mentioned, the guy who went down on those women, he enjoyed it because it can sort of like maybe cause a person to like something or to dislike it. So obviously it was something about him getting pleasure out of it, doing it himself, that
mm-hmm.
caused him to enjoy it so much. And then some people, they try to repress those feelings because they feel violated, they feel dirty and this and that. So they say to them, I will never, ever, ever put a penis in my mouth. I'll never, ever, ever, you know, go down on a woman, you know, things like that. But
mm-hmm.
obviously this young man had embraced that and now he's loving it. But it's just, if that had never happened to him, I wonder if one day would he have come to that after he had been, you know, what had happened to
him.
See, like,
and that's
happened.
The thing, no one would ever know. You know, you never know. Everything happens in life for a reason.
Right.
Good, the bad, the ugly. You know, I have another friend that he will never go down on a woman because he had trauma to him when he was younger. And so he's the opposite. He would never do it. Ever, ever.
Mm.
And for me, I would never date him. It would be a setup for me. He's very honest to let people know at the beginning, it ain't going down. We can't even have a conversation. It's not high, bad, keep it moving. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
You're not compatible.
And not at all. I couldn't even imagine. Oh, my good girl, please.
That's,
I need all of that. I need all of that.
Right, and that's kind of bad when it's taken away from a person like that through trauma or, you know, something that
mm-hmm.
came before things were supposed to happen, you know, because I was raped as well. And I had I was rejecting. I didn't have sex after that for a long time, and then once I did, I became promiscuous. But
mm-hmm.
the point I'm trying to make is, you know, when he raped me, he didn't do anything. He didn't put his penis in my mouth or anything like that. When I started to do oral, was something that I was with this guy that we had went to junior high school together, and we had some years that went by, and we had gotten together. And we was just in the bed, and just something just in my head just said, go down on him. And I've never did it before. I never had those thoughts in my mind, and I went down on him. Now,
oh,
yeah. He didn't complain or anything. I don't know if it was the right way, the wrong way, or whatever, but just something that came to me that night and told me to, you know, give him oil, and I did. And to me, it was very satisfying to me. Now, he didn't complain or anything, so I don't know, you know, but, you know, we did it, you know, every time when we would get together, when we did get together, I would, you know, do that to him. And I'm surmising that he did enjoy it, but he's dead now. May he rest in peace. But, you know, it was just something that I wanted to do, and I thought that was the time for me to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, it was the opposite. I was asked, because it never even crossed my mind. No one has ever asked me to do it. It was just like sex, you know, I promise you, just never even crossed my mind. Never
right.
did.
Well,
I was just stuck.
Never,
I was like, what am I supposed to do? What are you? I'm like, oh, shoot, what am I supposed to do? I had no clue.
But, you
and
know,
now
I,
look
do
at
have
now.
A, I do have a problem with a guy when he asks me to go down on him. Now, some women say they don't have a problem, but I have a problem with it because if I want to go down on you, that's what I want to do. I don't want you to ask me. That takes something out of me. You know, it makes me feel uh-huh. like, you know, it just breaks the mold when a guy asks me, would you go down on me? I mean,
mm-hmm.
if I want to go down on you and if I'm feeling that mood, then that's what I'm going to do. But when you ask me, the answer is the absolute no.
Wow. And you know what? It's funny because I'm the opposite. I love it when he'd be like, I need you to suck my dick. He'd be like, bitch, suck my dick. I'd be like, huh? Oh, yes, big daddy. I love it. He just comes, you know, grab my head, make me, you know, I love all of that. And a lot of people are like, it seems like you just want to be, like, raped or whatever. And I say, you know, people have a rape fantasy. That doesn't necessarily mean you want to be raped. I like to be, you know, overtaken in those things because I'm, you know, the position I'm in, I'm teaching people, and you know, they always say people in corporate America, they like to be dominated and all that, and I can see why, because when you are in a position where you're controlling everything, you do want to be submissive and have a person control, so I love it. I have to admit, but I'm the same with him. You know, I tell him all the time, I need to eat this pussy, you know, and we don't have a problem with it, but that's when the conversation comes at the beginning of are we compatible that way? Like, I'm sure if you meet someone, you'll let him know, look, if you ever want me to give you some head, don't tell me. You might can give me a wink or a look or kind of give me, like, I know that's what you want, but if you come out your mouth and say, I need you to give me some head, it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you guys can do that kind of communication. It could be like, baby, give me a double wink to let me know you're in that mood. And if I want to, I'm going to go down instead of him actually saying it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and that would probably be a better way of communicating for you two.
I don't know. It's just something about when he just, you know, and you know, like you just said, maybe it was how he said it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, opposed to, like, saying it, like, in a sexual tone or, you know, like, you know, you know, it just wasn't right the way he said it, you know. So
some men
just,
don't have tact, actually. They don't have tact.
Right.
They just say they have no filter and they say what they feel. For me as a woman, you can get just about anything you want out of me sexually if you do a couple of things. Number one, I love the back of my neck right above the – right underneath the hairline to be stroked. You
mm-hmm.
stroke my hair and my hairline, I'm instantly wet. You rub my back and my butt, it's an automatic whatever it is you want. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to know yourself. But
right.
it's always, but I mean, but it also turns me on for him to just say some old ignorant stuff. I like to be cursed out and be called and be degraded. Like, that's my turn on. You know,
oh,
I like
okay.
to be so and all of that. So, I mean, I don't have too many limitations.
Right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that if that's your thing, you know, because everybody's
right.
different, you know,
right.
when it comes down to sex
right.
because some women.
But I think that would
be
a cute
fun.
Thing for you to tell, like, your mate, you know, if that's something that you wanted. You know, just give me a wink. Now, it's up to you if you want to do it, but at least you'll know. That, kind of, that
well,
might
see,
be kind of sexy. He might be winking at you all day long. No, you'd be like, so in your eye.
But for some reason, I already have the guys, well, a guy that I'm with. If I'm going to do it, that's the one I'm going to do it with, you know. So, therefore, I just don't, the one that I'm going to do it with, the one I know I'm going to do it with is the one I'm going to do it with. Now, somebody else, you know, maybe just, you know, just straight sex, you know, no oral or anything like that. And then, you know, if he asked me, then he asked me one time, and I tell him no. And then you ask me again, it's a done deal. You're not even going to have sex with me anymore. Because if you must don't understand English or, you know, something's wrong because I told you no. Say, well, why not? Because I don't do that.
Mm.
So the guys that I tell that I don't do that, they should not keep asking me to do that.
Right.
It sounds crazy, I know, but that's just how I am. You know, other women, they have their little quirks and perks and things, and I have mine, and that's one of mine. I don't like a guy to, you know, ask me, you want to suck my dick? Can you do it a little bit more tactful or tasteful?
Right,
or,
exactly.
You know, a little
exactly.
bit more
exactly.
romantic or, you know, baby, come, you know, come, I want you to flick on this Snicker bar over here. You know, something like
but
that.
But you know what? I think a lot of times men don't have to do all of that as much because women are so ready. You know, I be on Facebook and I mean, I don't believe Facebook is all real. But, you know, I be in a lot of different
it definitely is not.
But, you know, when you're in a little, you know, the little special groups and all of that stuff, and, you know, a man can say some really little stupid, ignorant stuff, and the women be like, okay, yeah, Big Daddy, I'm ready. So they think, they take that on like that's real life. And when they come to a real person and say it, they wonder why she mad or got an attitude. Because the girls in Facebook on social media, they love it, but it's not real. And they kind of, I think the internet and all of this stuff has messed up romance. Nobody write love letters. They don't want to buy flowers. Everything is just fucking go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a fast food restaurant now. That's what sex is. No romance, no setup. Nobody listens to music, candles. Everybody just open leg screw and go to sleep.
A lot of men are just to the point. I mean, a man can stick his, pull his dick out and it'd be hard and be like, hey, here it is, and start shaking it. She'd be like, that means he want me to suck it. All right, here we go. Let's do it.
There's no more romance or, you know, things like that because I was watching a show this morning. And the guy said, well, I hooked up with her, and when the first day we had sex, so I didn't know if we was in a relationship or what was going on. You know, something was going on because you had – and then women, we think different than men. Men, they don't want any titles or anything like that, but if a man's taking us out to dinner, whining and dining us and, you know, doing this and doing that – we are going to have the assumption that something must be between us when he's just doing it to get between our legs. So therefore, I think, and the thing I like about back in the day was when a guy wanted to be with you, he would ask you, will you be my woman? Nowadays, no. They take you out to dinner, screw you, and that's it.
You know what, I think a lot of that has to do with the women as well because our standards have been it's so low now. You know, we used to be a challenge, and I am, I can actually raise my hand to this. You know, I'm not saying something that I just heard. I have been this chick where, you know, you don't want to be lonely, you really like him, and you make everything much easier for him. We don't give men challenges, but we're so scared that if we challenge him, he's going to lose interest. But actually, the challenge is what makes men want you more because sex is so easy to get. Females are so thirsty. They're looking for the woman that's going to say, no, I'm not ready. No, you need to date me. Give herself some standard and worth. He wants you because you're completely different than all other chicks out there. But in our mind, we think he ain't going to want to be with me because, you know, sex is so easy to get. He's not worth having anyway. So that's the one you want to keep it moving. But we have lowered our standards as women because I see it all the time. I mean, our dresses are getting shorter, you know, the boobs. And you know, when you want to go out, you want to feel sexy, and then nothing's wrong with that. But you don't leave nothing to the imagination no more. Everybody got
that's
on.
True.
Oh, and there's nothing wrong with the leggings, but now they got leggings that look just like your skin tone, like you're walking outside butt naked. You can see every butt crack, all the dimples, this, that, and the other. And men are just looking for a lady now. You know, everybody's chorus. They're looking for a lady. And we, you know, just a lot of women aren't ladies anymore.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
They don't have a lot of respect for women.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our special guest this evening, Angel Midnight, Talk Midnight, I'm sorry. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. This call-in number is 646-652-2877, and we'll be back.
What you doing?
Reading.
I can see that. What's the title of the book?
Insane.
Oh, I heard about that author.
Where'd you hear?
I heard that she is authoress Terry Elow, who lives in Alabama. She's written and published 7 books. Insane is her 8th book.
Wow, you are right.
So where did you get your book?
From her website, www.terrylow.com. You also can get it on Amazon straight to your Kindle.
Can I read Insane when you finish?
No way. This was autographed to me. But you can go to her website, www.terrylow.com, and get your own autographed copy.
Write that down for me.
I sure will.
There's a lot of ways of saying what I want to say to you. There's songs and poems and promises and dreams that might come true. But I won't talk of starry skies or moonlight on the ground. I'll come right out and tell you I'd just love to lay you down. Lay you down and softly whisper pretty love words in your ear. Lay you down and tell you all the things a woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you around. There's so many ways your sweet love made this house into a home. You've got a way of doing little things that turn me on. Like standing in the kitchen in your faded cotton gown. With your hair all up in curlers, I still love to lay you down. Lay you down and softly whisper pretty love words in your ear. Lay you down and tell you all the things a woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you around. Oh, darling, how I love to lay you down. When a whole lot of Decembers are showing in your face, your auburn hair has faded and silver takes its place. You'll be just as lovely and I'll still be around. And if I can, I know that I'd still love to lay you down. Lay you down and softly whisper pretty love words in your ear. Lay you down and tell you all the things a woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you around. Oh, darling, how I'd love to lay you down. Lay you down and softly whisper pretty love words in your ear. Lay you down and tell you all the things my woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you around. Oh, darling, how I love to lay you down. Lay you down and softly whisper pretty love words in your ear. Lay you down and tell you all the things my woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you.
All righty, then, that's Conway Twitty, a little bit of country there. I love to lay you down. We're back with our special guest, Angel. And like I said, if you have any questions or comments,
feel free to call in 646-652-2877. Don't be scared, because if you got any questions when we get off the air, what you going to do? So you better call in and ask all your questions right now, because I can't answer them. I'm learning something myself tonight, okay? Now, Angel, oral sex, you know, like when Clinton got it from Monica Lewinsky, he said, I do not have sexual relations with that woman. Isn't that considered a sexual act as well?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, you know, men use that all the time because he didn't want to get busted, you know, and he tried to make it seem like oral sex isn't sex. But that's the thing, even with a lot of the young kids today, especially the girls, they feel like they're still virgins. If I give him head, I'm still a virgin.
Right. That was the next question.
So the boy is satisfied because he had orgasm, but I'm still considered the virgin. And it's still a sexual act. You're not vaginally been penetrated, but you've been orally penetrated. So you're not a virgin.
Right.
Because they had sex. You know, vaginal sex. So I try to educate people all the time, but that's just a man's cop out, girl. I mean, you know, it's hard when men get busted. They got to think of any and everything to say, and that was one of the funniest things. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Yeah, not your oral relations with that woman. I just, you know, they should have specified what kind of sex, but you know.
Right, but that's what they do. They say it's oral sex is not considered a sex act, but, you know, and just like you had also mentioned, because the next question was going to be when these young girls are giving up oral, but they still have their virginity. Well, they still have, their hymen hasn't been broken. They consider themselves as still being virgins, but if you're having a sex act, I don't think you're a virgin, you know, if you put it in your ear or whatever, you know, but it's not a sex act. I mean, it is a
and
sex act.
And a lot of girls
act,
are getting venereal diseases in their mouths now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really, and that's why a lot of them are also getting throat cancer because of the papillomavirus. Virus. They're not being treated. You know, he can get it as well. So you're giving him head. You know, now your mouth is all messed up. Sex is sex. That's why I teach in one of my DVDs, you know, how to put a condom on with your mouth, because you still have to protect yourself. It's still sex. You still can, you can have an open sore in your mouth. Anything can happen. You still can contract diseases. So anything that you can contract sexually, you know, a sexually transmitted disease, that's sex.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. So, you know, people need to wake up and stop acting like this stuff ain't really happening.
Right.
Because the kids are getting younger and younger.
Right, that is the truth. Because one night I was coming home from work and I saw these little boys. I think the oldest one in the group, they looked like they were from either 9 to 12, and they was pulling on the smallest boy in the group. And you know what they were saying? He gonna suck my dick next.
Woo!
I could not believe it.
But you know what?
Like,
I'm going to tell you that. How old were they?
They were from like 9 to, the oldest one wasn't no more than 12.
Okay. But you know what? Because I've experienced with my children, finding them masturbating, and my kids are young. They're in that same age group. And even exposing themselves to young girls. And you know, it was very devastating for me. Because, you know, by me teaching sex, my kids know, but they are so curious sexually at that age. Their hormones are going through craziness. You know what I'm saying? You're going through that preteen, you're young, your penis going up, going down. You like, you know, you're rubbing on it, you like the feeling. Television and the internet is like the worst thing we could ever do because everything is sexually acted. You know, when our kids, they got YouTube, they see booties pounding all over. They want some stimulation, and they don't care if it's from a girl, a boy, young, old, from anything now. And that's the scariest part of having kids in this generation, you know. And with my kids, I had to really sit down and constantly keep telling them because, you know, they did some inappropriate things, touching girls and looking at girls and saying different things to females. And I was like, look, you're 12 and you're 10, but you still can go to jail. Then she's going ahead and not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. You know what I'm saying? And for these little boys with the boys and girls with girls, and you know, not everybody just free for all.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be kind of, you know, you be scared to have a sleepover at your house. You don't know what the heck going on.
Right, but these children that are thinking that way, like you had mentioned, is, you know, the internet, the media, and, you know, those sorts of things. But also it could come from within the family as well, because sometimes things go on behind closed doors that get out, you know, as far as like children that are being molested by, say, the father or the mother, and, you know, they're suppressing it, or they tell them don't tell nobody, but as soon as they get out, they want to have that outlet, so they pass that on, you know, try to get that off of them onto somebody else, you know.
Of course, most definitely. Mm-hmm, most definitely. I mean, I was raised by a nephew from a marriage, and I was raised by a cousin, blood cousin. And my first time I was raped, I was 9, and the second time I was 15, about 15 years old. And, you know, the bad part about stuff like, you know, you blame yourself, you go through all these different craziness, because I knew it had to be me. I was like, I'm too sexual or sensual or something, you know. And so it was like, you know, you get to the point where when I was younger, I dressed like a deacon in the church. I used to have on long dresses to the floor, you know, and I dressed way more mature than anybody my age, because I was trying to be less sexy.
Right.
You know, I blamed myself. And one day I just woke up and I was like, I'm young, I'm cute, and it's going to be on. And that's when, the because everybody had a hoe in them. And, you know, that was my hoe season. You know, I'm okay. And, you know, she retired. But, you know, it was like one day I woke up. And I think for these kids, you know, I tell parents all the time to look for signs. It's unfortunate when the parent is doing it, because, of course, the kids don't know where to go. But it's so much sexual abuse and molestation going in the home. Like you were saying, it is. And they take it outside and they bring it to the kids at school, their friends, their cousins. And it's like a vicious cycle. And it's just like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and because no one, you know, they have sex education in school, but they're so limited to what they're so scared to talk about everything. You know, because they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to go against nobody's religion. And it's like they even messed up, you know, that. And for some kids, that's the only way they ever find out about sex is through school in the streets, like, because the parents are never going
to
tell them.
I think that should be left up to the parents, because, you know, the children can, you know, believe their parents more or less than believing what somebody else tells them. Because I remember when we was coming up, one of my girlfriend's father, oh, my God, he had these talks with us. And he told us, he said, and I never forgot it, he said, this is how you can tell when a woman wants to have sex. She sits down and she can't keep still, and she's squirming and squirming. And, oh, my God, when I sat down, I made sure I did everything possible, because I actually thought that was true, you know, and it wasn't true. Just because a woman sit down squirming, that does not mean she wants to have sex. But this is what he was telling us. That's what I'm talking about. And I've never had this sex talk with my parents. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the things that I learned was from girlfriends, or, you know, hearing this, or, you know, and I think that it should start at home. You know, and your parents, they don't need to be afraid to tell you about this is your penis, this is your vagina. You got these women telling their little boys, that's your wee-wee, that's your tee-tee, that's your kitty cat, and all
that
kind of stuff. No, I tell my grandson that he has a penis. He said, that's my wee-wee. No, that's your penis. My mama said,
like,
it's my wee-wee.
Like, the
well, that's what your
is
mama
a bad
said.
Word. Isn't that crazy? I'm like, where did they come up with this? My kids
know
what's going on everything.
Right, that is a penis, and that is your vagina. You know,
exactly.
And you also
exactly.
let them know things, but you don't have to tell them everything. But I think when a child learns how to talk and they start asking questions, well, because I remember my daughter asked me when I was pregnant with my second child, she asked me, she said, Mom, how did that baby get in your stomach? How are you going to get it out? She was asking me all them questions that I was answering.
What?
You know, I said, well, the baby got in there because I made love with, you know, the baby's father, blah, 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 blah. But I know she didn't understand what I was saying, but I explained that to her, and I told her I would have to go to the doctor, you know, to get the baby out. Well, how is he going to get the baby out? I said, well, he's going to put me on the tape. You know, just explaining these things to her.
Right.
opposed to her thinking, because when I was young, I actually thought, I didn't know where babies came from. I knew my mom was pregnant, but I thought
to drop the baby off.
Right. We was taught that a stork dropped the baby off, and I'm thinking, you know, I thought actually babies was stalking. I also thought that they got their color from being in the oven too long. It's just crazy things when actually children should be taught these things, you know, so they don't have these crazy thoughts and, you know, saying crazy things.
But you know
things.
What? But this is the thing. Even if the kids were to find stuff at home, you know, your parents are sat down with them, you got to understand the dynamic, who are these parents now? The parents aren't you and I anymore. These are young, these young girls who don't even know about their own bodies still. And for them to sit down and try to talk to their kids is a messed up generation.
Yeah, that is true. But I was thinking back in the day.
Back in the day, they were scared to talk. That's why we thought the kids came from. You know,
right,
they used to tell
saying that's how it should have been. But
don't have oral
sex
or you're going to get cancer. You know what I'm saying? And even it's so funny, because actually you really can now, but that was like the biggest fear. Like, you were scared to put something anywhere because, you know, your parents put that fear of God and everything else in you to make you don't even want to do it. I had a lady who came to one of my classes who, and I promise you, when I say this woman, well, I'm going to tell you too. This one lady, she was beautiful. At body, unreal. And Jay, my manager, he's actually assisted me at the classes, and we both was looking at this woman like, her body's all changed. She was like, her husband had never seen her naked. She was very insecure because she had been molested, and no one ever talked to her about, you know, her body or sexuality or anything. And I knew her husband had him want to marry because I knew he was like, one day I'm going to be able to see all of that because that's how bad her body is. Then I had another lady who said that her husband had never seen her, always been fully clothed the whole time they had been married. When they go to bed, she's fully, even when they have sex, she is still fully clothed. She lifts up her gown, but she still covers up her breasts and everything. She would not let her husband see it. And I mean, it's people in 2014. You know, and it just amazes me how people are so yin and yang. There's some people out here that would just screw anything, and there's other people out here who are so scared they won't even show their husbands their breath. I'm like, you know, to me at this point, you know, I try my best to teach as many people as I can to get them very comfortable, and I've been very successful, but it's such a long way to go, and that's why I don't stop what I do. I take Angel Dorada Solutions very serious because, you know, and actually I'm changing even the dynamics of my name. You know, I've always said that I'm a fellatio expert, but I'm going to go into being an intimacy expert because I teach more than just fellatio.
Right, that is true.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the 2014 new image of Angel, and so because it's so much that people don't know, and I'm really going to start reaching out to men as well for them to have a voice and ask questions, and because they have a lot of questions, and want to make them feel comfortable as well. So you guys will be able to know about that too. You know, if men have questions, please call in. I can answer your questions as well.
Right. So you're not basically your classes consist of just women?
Yes, because even in the classes I am teaching fellatio. So unless he's, you know, homosexual, because it's all about the fellatio part of it. I just take it from the fellatio part to my signature technique with the grapefruit. Then it's times when ladies can ask questions. So just like how we're having a conversation now, you know, I tell women about how not to, you know, get a yeast infection or vaginosis, how to make a man feel like he has the multi-orgasm, hot spots in a man's body, painless anal, how to deep throat. You know, a lot of women ask so many different questions about everything. Then I teach the women how to squirt. So because I have so large range of things that goes on in the class, that's kind of how where the more intimacy expert is coming into play now.
Oh, okay. Now, you mentioned a few things we're going to talk about, deep throating.
All right.
Let's talk about deep throating because some women have that gag reflex. I know that I can take it, to the back of my throat, but if it goes, like, it feels like it's going down my throat, I will choke. And I've seen this woman that's on YouTube, as a matter of fact. She has one of those real long double dildos.
They actually
show it in an X-ray of it going all the way down her throat.
It's a straight line. It's a straight line, and longest if you can get it past your throat, it's just gonna go straight down. So you're not hurting anything. I think for some women, it's a couple of things. One, you're just not comfortable because you're not sure what's gonna happen. Number two, practice makes perfect. So it's not like that lady did it overnight. You know what I'm saying? It took her a while, just like with me with my techniques. It takes a while to accomplish that, so it's a big wow factor for someone else. And you have to understand that there's nothing blocking from your mouth to your belly. That's how you eat. So if it can go in your mouth, it can go all the way down. That's why a lot of men like the deep throat, because no matter how long he is, you can take it. The only thing about it is that deep throat is blocking everything, your esophagus. That's how you breathe. So if he's not pulling it right back out, you're going to die. You know, so deep throating is really just a wow factor, and that's it. It's nothing else. It's no manipulation. It's no thrusting in and out. At the end of the day, it's like, wow, she can take all of that. And then you just go to regular head. That's all.
Mm. Wow. I saw a tape. Are you familiar with any porn stars?
I do know of some of them, but not a lot. I don't.
Okay, well, Shawn Michaels, he does porn, and he does his own productions now. And what's the girl, Janet Jackmay? He measures at 12 inches, and I saw a tape where he put every inch of it in her mouth. So tears was coming out of her eyes, and so I'm thinking that it must have went way down her throat as well. But he put every inch of it in her mouth.
Well, I have a great technique for anyone who's listening can do, and anyone can do it. If you want to know.
Yeah, we want to know.
This is what you're going to do. You're going to have the young ladies, you're going to lay on your bed. And what you're going to do is when you lay on the bed, hopefully it's high enough, you're going to take your head and hang it over the side of the bed. When you do that, basically what you're doing is making a straight line from your mouth, your throat, and your esophagus. All that is just one straight line. Then he's going to come and actually take his penis and insert it. So he's going to be standing right where your head is. When you open your mouth, don't worry about your teeth because it's not going to be a problem. And once he places it in your mouth, just start to swallow a little. Once you start to swallow, and it seems uncomfortable because it's something big in your mouth, you're not going to throw up or any of that. Just swallow, and it'll just slide straight in. And I have a picture, actually, in my gallery of a lady doing it, and I send it to people all the time because they'll be like, how do you do it? And when they look at her, because this man's penis is about 12 inches as well, and you can see it all the way in her throat, all the way in the back. And, then, you know, it's like a before and after. You're just like, oh, my God, that's amazing. But that is the easiest way to do it for anyone.
Oh.
The hardest people to have a deep throat is anybody with a hook. Hooks are harder because it's like taking a straight line and then you're taking a C curve and try to make it go through. It's not as easy. So that's when you have to learn how to kind of manipulate it a little bit.
Oh, okay. Now, you also spoke of the grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the grapefruit you're using that.
Oh, okay. Well, with the grapefruit, you're actually using a real grapefruit. And I don't want to give it all away because I want people to go on our website and purchase the DVD so they can see it. I'm sorry. So what you're going to do is you're going to take a grapefruit and you're going to warm it up. And when you warm it up, you want to make sure it's room temperature. All you got to do is use warm water. And then what you're going to do is you're actually going to roll it to kind of get the and try to get the my manager Jay keeps calling. I'm trying to tell him I'm doing an interview. I'm sorry.
Tell Jay to behave himself.
I know I guess he thinks the interview is over with. But anyway, so then what you want to do is you want to roll it, and when you roll it, you want to get the juices nice and going. And then it's a way that you're going to cut it. And when you cut it, which I don't want to reveal all of it, but the way you cut it, when you use it on him, going to feel if you are giving him head, because you're still going to be sucking, and it's going to feel like sex because of the grapefruit at the same time. It is like the best feeling for a man because it's hot, it's juicy, he's blindfolded. Thing, and then it's like it's just phenomenal. I tell women, like, grapefruit is also a fat burner, so you're losing weight. So I don't want to like put it all out there, but it's fine.
Well, is this going to be a messy type thing? You know, because from all that juice that's you know, in a grapefruit is pretty juicy now. So I'm working a grapefruit, and, you know, is that going to
be... Girl, they like that juicy feeling. I can tell you that from experience. I got the DVD.
All right.
They like that juicy feeling.
Okay. Well, that you know, that's good. Would you suggest any other type of a fruit, maybe a orange? Could an orange work as well, or a grapefruit is better?
It can. The only thing is because you want it to be big enough, so it can accommodate any size.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing. It can accommodate any size.
Well, I have a question.
Go on.
By being a grapefruit, does a citrus
interfere
when
you're
not at all anything?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, that's good to know.
Right, because I was thinking the same thing. You know, if it got in his urethra, would it burn or anything?
So you're going to be sucking, so it's not going to go in the urethra.
Okay.
Also, he's going to be having a penis inside the grapefruit.
You know, I can't say everything. We want the people to purchase the DVD. Because you don't want to, I don't want people to like cut it wrong and make a mistake and, you know, say it don't come out right. So the DVD really does break everything down for them and everything. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you have a book as well. Now what's in the book?
The book is, the beginning of it is about me. And I did that because I just wanted people to kind of know who I am and why I do what I do. Because my story is kind of really relatable to a lot of women. You know, my mom being mentally ill and, you know, try to kill me most of my life. And then, you know, being raped and then just had a, you know, bad marriage and, you know, just real women things, you know what I'm saying? But I tell people that, you know, my life is a living testimony because God only allows us to go through certain things to bless other people. Our purpose, you know, we got the praise, but you have to go through things to come out of it so people can say, oh, I can do it too, because she didn't fall. So that's the beginning of it, and then it goes into why I teach fellatio, and then it goes into anatomy, male and female, because before you can really be good at any sexual act, for me, not just power. And once you understand your body and its functions and what it can and cannot do, it makes you a beast. Like, a lot of women can squirt, but they have no idea what it is and how do they do it. But once you understand it and control it, you feel like, oh, my God, you know, you feel more empowered. And that's the whole, you know, thing behind the fellatio part. Yeah, anybody can, you know, put a penis in their mouth, but when you know exactly what it is you're doing, what he's feeling, and how to manipulate the situation, you feel so empowered that you're like, I got this. And that's the enthusiasm of giving head. So it goes through that. Then it goes into fantasies. I have several. And I go, basically, you know, you step by step of what you do. And then the end of it is 100 questions that both men and women have asked me about anything sexual. You know, people want to know, like, what are blue balls? Do you have sex while you're on your cycle? Why do men like bitches? You know, how to squirt, how to deep throw, painless anal. Just a lot of little different things that people ask me over the years. And so I'm actually going to actually update and do another edition of the book, you know, to add some more things that I've learned over the years and take some things out and, you know, kind of do what everyone else does with their books. But that is the gist of the book. It's about 200 pages. It's really, really good. It's a great page turner, especially my story. I think a lot of people get the book more for the story. They, you know, they try to get the book to learn about sex, and they be like, oh, my God. They start crying and calling me like, this book is so good. Oh, I love you, Angel. I'm like, oh, I love you, too. Aww. So, but you can get the book and the DVDs and everything on my website as well.
Well,
okay.
Can I ask you a question? I know a guy have told me in the past that he can look at a woman and kind of like tell which woman would be good in bed. You know, just like people can tell you, say, which way you carry your pregnancy, whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. Now, by you knowing so much about the vaginal anatomy, is there any truth to that, or is that just a myth?
That's just a myth. Sex comes from experience, and also it comes from confidence. There's some people out there, you'd be like, she is bad, oh my God, and probably one of the worst lays ever because she's not confident in herself. I had this guy at an airport tell me, oh, I can look at you and tell you if you have an innie or outie clitoris or if it's big. And, you know, he's like, you look like you have a huge, thick clitoris. And I was like, no, I have a small innie. I said, you can't look at a person and tell. That's just like saying you can look at their feet or hands and tell they have a big penis. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to add up. You really don't know. You know, it's all genetics. But, no, that's not true. Can't nobody really just look at you. They're just saying, they're guessing, and it's just probably they got the probability of luck on their side that they probably had, you know, 80% was right because they just, you only, you know, it's a yes or a no.
Oh.
You know, and everybody's going to think they're a freak. You know, they're going to like, oh, my God, he knows me. Please, there's so many men out there to be like, these women are horrible sexually. And I'm like, y'all need to start walking around here thinking y'all the bomb and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't set yourself up like that because men talk about us.
Yes, they do.
Oh,
yes, they do. And we talk about men, too, but we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss squirting and painless anal with our special guest this evening, Angel. And if you have any questions, you don't have too much longer now. You need to call in 652-2877, and we'll be back.
I've heard it all before. And love is a two-way street. You have to give something to this relationship. I'm all out of understanding. It's always something with you. And all I've got to say is, gave you the best. Best years of my life and I. Gave you one who stood by your side through all your ups and downs, your rights and all your wrongs. And God knows there were wrongs. I should have been long gone, but when I made you that promise, for better or worse, said I'd stay by your side. I swallowed my pride, and now you're asking me to understand. And I'm telling you, I can't. Why should I care about your feelings when you don't give a damn about mine? Well, I don't want to know. Couldn't care less about your feelings. Don't you know? You should have cared more about mine. And I don't want to know. It really three hearts, one boy and one girl, and a woman who loves you. We're sitting here falling apart all through your ins and outs, your fears and all your doubts. God knows they've been down, but we've given you a home and you're just throwing it away, baby. All for some girl born yesterday. And what about your children? There's nothing to explain, but still you're asking us to understand. Well, I'm telling you we can't. Why should we care about the reason when you're walking right out of our lives? And I don't want to know. I couldn't care less about your feelings.
Miss Gladys Knight, I Don't Want to Know. That's such a beautiful song. I love playing that. Well, we're right back here with our special guest this evening, Angel, and we're discussing a multitude of things. But right now we're going to get into discussing squirting since she brought that up. So I know that some women are natural squirters and other women can be taught. So what is the procedure for women who want to squirt who are not natural squirters?
Okay. And just to let everyone know also that this information is on one of my DVDs as well, Angel's Fellatio Secrets, the grapefruit, the techniques, how to painless anal, how to squirt, and a fantasy. All of that is on that one DVD. But as you were saying, every woman can squirt. That's the wonderful thing about it. And this is a very simple way of everyone being able to go there. Ladies, if you're in a relationship right now, I'm going to give everyone a man. So say you have your man, and what you're going to do is you're going to have your man take his two fingers, the middle finger and the pointy finger, make sure his nails are cut and clean, and he's going to place it inside your vagina, 1 to 3 inches, inner, upper, meaning it should be kind of like right under your clitoris. What he's looking for is your G-spot. Your G-spot, like I said, is 1 to 3 inches inner upper. It could be a little to the left, a little to the right, depending. Now, I want everyone who's listening to do this with me, because your man is not going to be sure if he's on your G-spot. This is what you're going to tell him to do. take the tip of your tongue, place it to the roof of your mouth, and by your teeth. And right there, you're going to feel some ridges. That's what your G-spot feels like. It feels like corduroy. It's about the size of a quarter in or upper. So now, all of a sudden, you're going to take your finger, he's going to take his fingers, and he's going to move them back and forth like he's saying, come here, but extremely fast. So what he's doing is actually he's trying to wake up your G-spot. He's manipulating your G-spot. Now, you're going to know he's on it because now you have a sensation that you have to urinate. So, like I tell women all the time, have you ever had sex or you was making love to your man and all of a sudden you had this sensation come over you like you had to urinate? You get up, you go to the bathroom, and you pee. Well, we have what is called a urethra sponge. When you are sexually aroused, it engorges in blood, and it blocks your urethra to your bladder, meaning you cannot have sex and pee at the same time. You just cannot do it. Men have a urethra sponge as well. That's why they cannot do it as well. So what happens is when you feel that sensation that you have to urinate, you actually push like you're peeing. It's about maybe a fourth of a cup, if not more, for the average woman, a fluid that's going to come out of you. Some women, it can be a half of a cup. It just depends on the woman. And it is an amazing feeling. For a lot of women, it feels 100 times better than having an orgasm than coming. Now, it's extremely messy, so you do need to invest in waterproof mattress pads. You know, you do need to get some towels. But this is the thing that I tell women all the time. We are big thinkers. Every woman in this room, everyone who's listening to this is probably thinking, Angel, I hear you, but I don't want to pee on my man. Pretty much the relationship is over. And I understand because it could be an embarrassing moment or some women just don't care, whatever. What you need to do is clear your bladder first. So before you have sex, when you go to the bathroom, you know how you make sure everything is nice and clean and tight, urinate first. Then do your wash up or take your shower. That way your bladder now is completely clear and empty, rather. And once you feel that sensation, mentally you know it cannot be urine because I just urinated, so it has to be what Angel told me. And then you just relax and push and release. Amazing. It is amazing. Wow. And the great part about it is you can scroll back to back to back. It's endless. Now, let's backtrack a little bit. Ladies, couple of things. Number one, if you got a man with a straight penis and you never felt that feeling ever before, 9 times out of 10 is because your G-spot is not woken up and he has nothing to manipulate. Number two, if you have a man with a hook, that means his penis curves up or even to the side and you can angle your body where it can hit your G-spot. Every single time he makes love to you, it will hit your G-spot. Hooks are phenomenal. And then number three, if your man is not circumcised, meaning he still has the foreskin on his penis, he will make you have an orgasm or squirt every single time. If you did not know, God, one of the purposes of foreskin is to actually help you have a better orgasm. That foreskin manipulates your G-spot every single time so you can come. God is so good. Oh, so that was the first things with the anatomy of him of making you squirt. Number two, if you have all that and you say, Angel, I feel it, but every time I push, nothing comes out. It could be because him being inside of you is blocking you from squirting. Sometimes he might have to pull out of you for you to be able to squirt. So that is squirting.
Yeah. Okay.
And everyone can do it. So once you feel like you got to pee, basically just push. That's it. That's pretty much it. I broke it all down for the anatomy so you can understand it, but that is squirting.
Okay.
Beautiful thing. Mm,
right.
Mm.
Now, I've seen some X-rated tapes where it just looked like a fountain. Now, someone said that they're using apparatuses to make it look like that. It doesn't really squirt out like a fountain water, does it?
Yes, it can. It depends on you doing Kegel exercises. The more you do Kegel, the tighter your vaginal floor is, the further you can push out, because that's basically all you're doing. You're using your muscles to push out further. It's just like when you urinate. When you urinate, sometimes it could trickle out, and if you push, you know how it comes out with bigger force. Because the thing is this. When you squirt, the fluid is coming out of your urethra and your shin duct. when you actually come or have an orgasm, it oozes out your vagina and your shin duct. So because you're using your urethra to squirt, that's the same exact vessel that you use to urinate. So just how you can push your urine out and it can go hard and across, it's the same exact thing. It's just all about your kegels. And I tell women all the time, you want to tighten up your vaginal walls, the vaginal floor, because, of course, it gives you to grip his penis better. A great way to know if you are tight. This, I want everyone to do this when they get a chance. When you urinate, lean over the toilet like you do when you're at the club. When it ain't your own bad your own toilet, when you know how you do that in the squat.
Right.
Pull the labias back, because you want to make sure this is going to work out right. Pull your labias back and urinate. If the urine goes straight down without going anywhere else, usually you have a good pelvic floor. That means you're really doing kegels and everything is lined up. If your urine trickles to the left, to the right, you see splatters on the toilet, you're not doing kegels, and so the vaginal pelvis floor is not tight. That means you don't have the best grip. You're a little looser than you should be. It's not lined up, and that happens from vaginal births, and also if you're with a man that's well endowed for a very long period of time, it will throw you off. That's the test. If you see that not happening, you need to download this little app that I found on my play book or whatever. And it's just called Kegel Exercises, and it's red. And it helps you during out the day to do Kegels. And it shows
what
you
about
how
Benoit balls?
Well, Benoit balls are good, but you can't keep them with you all day long. This is something that you can have while you're at work, something that you can do while you're walking, because it's going to have a timer. It's going to tell you all the different times of the day. It's probably like 6 or 7 times during the day. Okay, it's time for you to do your exercise. And it's only like for a few seconds, and it's going to show you how to close your muscles and how to open it. Benoit balls, like I said, you can't take them with you all the time. Plus, so you're limited only at home. And then number two, depending on the kind that you have, the Benoit balls I don't recommend, because depending on your vagina, they can get stuck, because if a person is actually imagining how their vagina is shaped, and then right there in the middle is your uterus, and then of course you have your cervix right there. Well, you can actually take your finger and you can go to your left or to your right, because there's like a little pocket on both sides. So sometimes the Benoit balls can get stuck and they won't fall out. Even though they weighed, it just could be depends on your anatomy. So you don't want something that's separate. They do have dual balls that are connected by a string. Those are more feasible to use than the separate ones, because it's all about safety with me. But you can't, I had a lady who put those in her going to work. That woman was orgasming the whole second darn time going to work. She'd be going over the damn track, and she having orgasms. I ain't trying to kill nobody. I don't want nobody to die.
Right.
So, just do the Kegel. That's a great app. It really, really is. And that way you can, tighten it up. So that's a great, thing to know. But, yeah. So I said all to say, yes, you can shoot it across the room. The more, because I can shoot. So I'm telling you what I know. Yeah. I have times when it trinkle out, and I have times when it shoot out. It just depends on, if he messed me up too much and I can't concentrate. Yeah.
Right. Well, are you a natural squirter, or you taught yourself to squirt?
I taught myself. Actually, I've only done it with one person. And that's who I'm with now. And he has a hook. Mm-hmm. I've always been with straight penises. This is the first hook I've ever had. So I didn't even know I can do it. And I was teaching women. Now, this is the funny thing. I am a great person on Learn, I'll Read, and I believe what I read. But I need to figure it out for myself to confirm. And at first, I just could not do it. And I knew it could happen, but I realized at the time who I was married to, he had a straight penis. And I just never felt that feeling. And I would get frustrated because I'm like, okay, everybody can squirt and I can't. And then who I'm with now, I mean, girl, I couldn't believe, I wanted to cry. And I was like, oh, my God. I felt more complete, like I could do it. But I realized just the way my anatomy is, it took that type of anatomy to make me achieve. But now I realize that my G-spot just never was woken up. If you manipulate and wake it up, every time you get sexually aroused, it falls.
Mm-hmm.
And then even with a man with a straight penis can manipulate it. But at that time, I didn't know. You know, so ladies, long as he wake it up, it don't matter what anatomy he has, it's going to hit it then. But it's got to be manipulated. Yep.
Okay, we're getting down. Does anybody have any questions? Because we are getting down to the wire, and I did want to touch on painless anal before we went out. So do you ladies have any questions of Angel?
No, not right now. I'm listening. I'm enjoying the show. I really am.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to touch on the painless anal.
Oh my goodness. No, like, you would not be making that sound. You would be more like, unless you had an orgasm. So, painless anal. It's all about the position. Position and lubricant is the two number one things you need with painless anal. Mm-hmm. I recommend a silicone when you are dealing with anal, only because you do not have to keep adding it. Silicone never loses slipperiness, so you can add it one time and bam, you're in there. But with water-based lubricants, sometimes you got to add it because it can come thick, sticky, or it can just dry out. You know, it just depends on your body. So that's number one. Number two is the position. Fetal position is a great position to be in. Fetal. That means he could be spooning you, or you can actually take your buttocks and hang it over the bed and he could be standing. So, you know, of course, you got to have a higher bed. This depends on, you know, the height. So let's just do spooning for now. So what he's going to do is he's going to take the head of his penis and place it inside your anus and just sit there for like 10 seconds. And the reason why is because we have that muscle there called the sphincter. The sphincter's job is to keep the feces inside. So usually when we are like in the doggy position, he's putting it in, we're tensed up, he's just trying to ram it in, and he's hitting that muscle, and that muscle is doing the job. Its job is to keep something in. So you're trying to go against, you know, nature. So it hurts. Ouch, ouch, ouch. I don't never want to do it again. But what happens is when you're in the fetal position, number one is less invasive on your rectum. Think about if you ever had a colonoscopy or a colonic, that's the position they put you in.
Right.
So your knees are closer up to your chest. When he places the head of his penis in, what happens is the sphincter realizes something is there. Count to like 10. You know, 10 seconds, and then the sphincter will start to open up and adjust to the size of his penis, and it would just suck him in painlessly.
Okay.
And that's anatomy.
Well, all right.
Yes, and then once he's in there, you'd be like, oh, you're in there? He's like, I don't know, Emma. And then y'all just go to town. Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. Well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Somebody was saying something?
Angel. I was just saying, I just wanted to, you know, because I am a big safety buff. One thing about anal, painless anal is it feels great, but a couple of things. Number one, always have a condom. I don't care if it's your husband, whomever.
Right.
Because feces are present no matter how much you clean your rectum, it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure you don't, you know, tear the tissue, all of that. So anal, you want to protect it. And then number two is this is something that you only want to do. This is that special. Okay, give him head every day. I don't care. But anal is very sporadic. This is something like once, twice, maybe three times at the most out of the year. Don't do this every other day. You know, even if you do it once a month, you know, that's kind of stretching it because it is not an area that was meant to be penetrated. It is an exit only. And even though it does feel good, you lose it. You use it, you'll lose it. And you don't want to be 45, 50 sneeze and shit on yourself. It's just not cute. That's not attractive.
No, it's not. But,
you know, you don't want to do that. So you want to make sure that it's just every now and then. You know, God gave us enough other pleasure zones that you ain't got to wear out that. You know, you don't want to have to pack tampons in your rectum because you can't keep everything in there. That's not cute.
Ooh, that's gross, yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay, so this has been a very insightful, very informative show. And, you know, hopefully whoever's out there listening, If you didn't call in, at least you're listening. I hope you had your pen and pad taking notes, because unless you go onto her website, which is
AngelsEroticSolutions.com
and get her DVDs and her book, you're not going to know what to do. And I do suggest that you get that, you know, the DVDs and the book, so you can look at it anytime, and, you know, you don't have to worry about, what did she say, and calling me up asking, what happened? No, get the DVD and the book, and you'll know. And then, you know, like I said, you didn't call in with your questions, so that's, you know, that's it. But like I said, this was a very insightful and informative show, and I do appreciate everybody that came out, and especially you, Angel. We're going to give you a great big round of applause, girl.
Oh, thank you. Oh. Thank you. Oh, wow, I got a standing ovation all right now.
No, that's right, girl. You deserve it. We appreciate it. We really do.
Yes, that's, you know, for you giving out, and then, you know, giving out all that information, because you didn't even have to give us the information that you gave us. You could have just said, get my DVD and my book, you know.
Right. But you know what? I love teaching. I love what I do. So I never have a problem with giving it.
Right. That is true. And I do appreciate you for that. And, you know, since it's the end of the show, I want everybody to know that, you know, Bring It Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but it's not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or to my co-host, Rhea, that's RheaAlexis@yahoo.com, RheaAlexis@yahoo.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, like tonight. The topic was so juicy, you know, of adult conversations, you know. So, and tune in every first Friday at 11 p.m. for open topic, and the last Friday at 10:30 p.m. for my musical show, which I play slow jams or house music or happy hour songs from the 50s on up. And on Sunday, you have got to stop by Gail's Blues Joint, where everything is free, the music, the food, the drinks, and just, you know, playing blues and sassy music. Remember, Bringing Sexy Back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing Sexy Back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Rhea. I want to thank you, Jade and Terry. And special thank you to Angel for being my guest tonight. And next Wednesday, Jade Byron is going to be my special guest. She is a relationship coach, among other things, but she's going to be the guest next Wednesday. You don't want to miss that show as well. And with that being said, everybody have a wonderful evening. Stay out of the cold. Have a beautiful rest of the week, and take care. Love you guys. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.